All right, Matthew chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 5 in just a few moments. Matthew chapter 10, I think I felt the need to give you a review of Matthew so far. In chapters 1 through 4, we've seen the king's person. In chapters 5 through 7, we've seen the king's principles and the Sermon on the Mount. And remember, in chapter 8 and 9, we've seen the king's power as we looked at 10 miracles that our Lord performed, and we looked deeper behind the meaning of the miracle. And now we're in chapter 10, looking at the king's men. Last week, we looked at an overview of the 12 apostles and lessons that we can learn from the Judas in verses 1 through 4. And now we're going to pick up. Let me give you a good outline of the rest of the chapter. Warren Wiersbe, I'm going to use his outline. He says something here that is very instructive. He says that chapter 10 is not all about the 11 apostles. He says that 1 through 15 deals with the apostles. That was past. And chapter 10, 16 through 22, that 23 that we're going to look at later, deals with the disciples in the future tribulation period. And I'll explain to you where he gets that from. And then the last section, verses 24 through 42, deal with us today as God's servants, and we are disciples. But remember, we talked about the difference between a disciple and an apostle. They were disciples, but yet they were called to be sent to represent the king. There's no more apostles today. They were for that age and that time for a reason. And we talked about the four criteria that they had to meet to be an apostle. What I want to do tonight is look at an overview of their ministry, first of all, and then I want to begin to look at some details of their ministry in verses 5 through 12. Christ had asked him to pray. Back in chapter 9, verse 36 and 38, he said to pray for laborers for the harvest. And now he sends them out to serve in the harvest. It is a serious thing to pray for the lost, and we need to be. What do we need to pray for when we pray for lost people? Well, we need to pray that the eyes that are blinded will be opened. We need to pray God would rebuke Satan, get him out of the way. He wants to keep them blinded. We need to pray for the light of the gospel to penetrate their heart. And we need to pray for a gospel witness, right? And do y'all see where I'm headed with this? If we pray for the lost, we're the one that needs to go, right? So he says that. And Christ gave them the divine power. We'll be looking at this. I'm giving you an over general view of verses 5 through 15. We'll break it down closer. He gave them divine power that they needed to do his work. The gifts that they had were for apostles only. They were the actual faith healers. And today we have what? Prayer. We can use prayer. All these jokers on TV that claim this and claim that, you know, they're just imposters. They're just charlatans. We believe God heals, but he does it through the prayers of his saints. And nobody in this building has or never will have the ability to heal like the apostles had. That was for that time alone to authenticate that they were messengers of the gospel and messengers of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't interpret the Bible any other way if you're going to do it correctly. God gave them divine power. He always equips those he calls and sends. And God uses a variety of people to accomplish his work. And everybody's different. And everybody has given different gifts. And we all don't have the same spiritual gifts. There's some 17 spiritual gifts, and we all don't have that. You know, if you have the gift of prophecy, like me and Glenn have, it's either cut or dry, or it's black or white. And somebody with the gift of mercy will think that we are really judgmental and really hard-hearted, and we would think that they're too lenient, you know? So there's a clash of gifts. Now, their commission was clear. Preach the kingdom of heaven in verse 7. They were to go to the Jews only. And John the Baptist had done this. Jesus had done this. Now the disciples or the apostles were to spread the message across the nation. That's where we differ from them. The miracles they would perform would be their credentials that they represented the king. Now, I want to give you a couple words of caution here between what they were called to do and what we are called to do today. Number one, the commission is not for the church or for individual missionaries today. these men were told to do certain things for a certain time that they lived in. And we'll look at that today. We don't have the miraculous powers that they had, especially the apostles. And while the servant of God is not dependent on material things, he still is to prepare and provide for his and his family as he carries the message across. That's why we take on missionaries. They depend upon believers to help them and minister to them. And that's the same thing Jesus told these apostles. You go into the house of believers and they'll take care of your needs. Now, so today's missionaries are not to follow the instruction of Matthew 10, 9 and 10. They get sent out by a local church. This is how independent Baptist churches work it. They feel a call to go to, say, China, and the church affirms that call in their life, and they go out and they do deputation where they go to different churches and they get a certain point of support, and then they go to China or wherever God is sending them, and that in their sending church checks on them, make sure they're doing everything they're supposed to do, and they notify us if they don't. And that's when, if they don't do what they're supposed to do or are doing something wrong and they don't take the discipline of the local church, then we drop them when we hear from the local church. So it's not blind faith on our part. I'm sure we don't have nobody that we support on the beaches of Hawaii, you know. If they don't make good use of the money and they don't do what they ought to do. One thing I run across here, and I tell you when we run across it, maybe a missionary decided he's going to take it. You know, they're supposed to go start a local church, raise up leaders, and then go somewhere else. But then they decide to stay there and be pastor. And when we get word that they do that, we drop them because we don't support pastors, we support missionaries, right? So we drop them there. That's a little bit about how it works here. These apostles in verse 1 were given special power and authority from Christ to perform miracles. Again, these miracles that they worked, they're called in 2 Corinthians 12:12. That's a verse you need to know. These are the signs of an apostle. Not these are signs of a pastor. These are signs of an evangelist. These are signs of a church member. No, these are signs of an apostle. And they were given that gift. So the first thing I want you to note is we look at the detail of their missionary. By the way, also, too, one more thing before we get into that. We do not preach the kingdom of heaven. He told them here, as we'll look at it and see, go into those houses that are worthy. Go into the houses of the believer. Announce the kingdom, the coming kingdom. We proclaim the gospel of God's grace to all people. We invite sinners to come to Jesus, repenting of their sins and believing. And there are spiritual principles in this section we may apply to us today, but these instructions that I'm going to share with you in 5 through 15 are for the 11 apostles and 12 when Matthias was added. Now, let's look at the detail of their ministry. First of all, Jesus commanded them to pray. Let's don't overlook that. Look in chapter 9, verse 37, 38. Then he said unto the disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." We still battle that today, don't we? And he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." So we pray to the Lord, what? And he will send forth laborers to his harvest. We don't have to go around and beg people in the church to serve God. We don't have to go around and manipulate somebody to go do something. We pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he burdens their heart, and he sends them out. See, that's the prescription. So first thing is to do pray. Pray that God would send them a gospel witness that we would go to, that the blinders on their eyes would be opened and the light of the gospel would penetrate their heart. And the world philosophy, people are blinded not only by Satan, but they're blinded by the philosophy of the world. You see it on TV every day, right? They don't know why they believe. They don't know why they hate Trump. They don't know why this. They don't know why that. They're just blinded and they're by the philosophies of the world. Now, so the thing, first of all, he told them to pray. Second of all, he tells them to go in verses 5 through 15. So we pray, but we go. Don't you think it would be hypocritical to pray for somebody that's lost and then we expect somebody else to go, right? I'm just telling you the reality. You know, God should burden our heart, right? You don't wait on Brother Joe to go, right? You know, if you're praying about it and you're burdened about it, God's using you to go to that person. So they commanded them to go, and they would heal the sick. We see in verse 1, this included all kinds of diseases, lepers being cleansed, that cast out demons, and even raising the dead. And all these miracles that they were told that they would be able to perform from the power of God, not from within themselves, all four ministries parallel the miracles that Jesus performed. And so they represented the king, and they were an extension of his work in the early foundation of the church. This is why God gave them the ability to do that, to authenticate. They were from God, the gospel was true, and Jesus is the Messiah. Now let's look at the details of this thing. Look in verses 5 through 7. Let's begin reading in 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and go into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So they were told here, he sent out these 12 men to go to the Jew first. There's a book back in the library back there that says, "To the Jew first." They were told to go to the Jews, right? You remember when Paul went into a city, where did he go first? Somebody tell me.
Synagogue.
Synagogue, right. You get an A on that. He went to the synagogue, right? Well, he worshiped the Lord, but he would witness to the Jews, right? And they only had the Old Testament, but people like Paul could take the Old Testament and lead somebody to Christ, you know, in all the Old Testament prophecies. This is the historic pattern, to the Jew first. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22 says. Later, after the rejection of Christ, later after the nation of Israel rejected, the leaders of religious leaders rejected the Messiah, then they are told in Matthew 28:19 to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Before that, it was to the house of Israel, the lost house of Israel. So these 12 ambassadors announced the coming of the kingdom just as John the Baptist did. And Jesus himself. But sad to say, the nation rejected both Christ and John the Baptist and his ambassadors, and the kingdom was taken from them. The millennial kingdom that all the prophets had talked about, the thousand-year reign of Christ, was put on hold till after the second coming of Christ. You remember in Acts 1, when they're standing on the Mount of Olives and Jesus is about to be ascended, they said, "Will you not restore to us the kingdom of God at this time?" Well, they had rejected it. So he took it away from them for a period of time, and they would enter into the land, like we talked about over and over in this church, after Christ comes at his second coming with the church and sets up his millennial kingdom, and then they'll have that promised thousand-year reign that was promised to David and Abraham when that time. But right now, it's been taken away from them, and the church is coming in, right? And then when the church is full, the last person saved, then God will begin his prophetic program with the nation of Israel again. Now, so they rejected it. And I'm glad they did, because I don't know. See, the original plan was for them to receive the Messiah and then bring the Messiah to us. That was what God had commissioned. God knew all about the fact they wouldn't do it. So we were in the mind of God in eternity past. So look in verse 8. Jesus sent them to the diseased, the dying, the despised, and the demon-possessed. Let's look at that in verse 8. He said, "Heal the sick." Now who is he talking to here? Y'all tell me. Remember Bible interpretation? Who is he talking to here? No. Who is he giving these instructions to? Yeah, not us. He's giving them to the 12 apostles. That's interpretation 101. This is not your verse. This is their verse, right? So he says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received and freely give." What is he saying here in verse 8? He sent them to do the work of an apostle. They had the signs of an apostle. They could be able to work these miracles because they were empowered by God. And then he said something very interesting that our, I won't call them brothers, but our prosperity gospel people fail to realize there. He says, "You have received these things free of charge. Now you go out and don't charge for your healings." That's what he's saying there in verse 8. Look at it. He said, "You have received, freely give." You know, they didn't take no money, right? I can't see any instance in the Bible where any of the apostles took money for healing anybody. And I can't see it where Jesus took money, right? But the gospel, the so-called fake healers today, you know, they right up front, they want seed money. They want, say, $1,000. You got to plant a seed of faith. You hear that a lot if you turn on the TV to these stations. You know, you need to have some seed faith money. That's not biblical. That is not true. God doesn't need any money from you to heal you, right? But you got to show that you're sincere, they say. You got to give money to this quack, and then God, per se, will heal you. You know, remember what Peter, James, and John did going to the temple, right? Said, silver and gold have I none, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So these people are not of God. These people are charlatans. They're of the devil, and they're leading many people astray today. The Kenneth Copelands, the Joyce Meyers, the Benny Hinn's, you see them on TV, because I know you. Some of you watch them because you ask me. You say, "What do you think about this one?" And I don't want to tell you the real truth. They're as quacky as the day is long, right? And we need to be honest about it. And they were not the charge. These apostles were not the charge for healing. Okay? Now notice verse 9 and 10. They went to the needy. Now notice that. Let's look at that closer. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Again, this is instructions for them, right? Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. New Testament saying, the workman is worthy of his hire. What is he saying here? He wanted them to go to the needy. Why? So they could depend upon God to provide to them what they needed, right? Today they would go to where the people are rich and they know they'll pay this kind of money and kind of things like that. But God sent them to depend totally upon him, to the needy. And yet God provided for them in this missionary journey what they needed. And so you can't take this verse and say, well, preacher, you got to pay your way, you got to do this. The New Testament principle is 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says that those who preach the gospel are to make their living by the gospel, right? So that's what that's talking about. I know some people that, real hardliners that believe that every pastor should be bivocational. He should have a job and he should be doing the affairs of the church. And if he doesn't have a job outside the church, he's not called of God. I'll say one word about those kind of people. They're ignorant, right? You know, God has called, if possible, for the church to provide for a man and make his living from the gospel, right? Can I get an amen there? All right. Y'all often silent on that one. But these apostles depended on the hospitality of others. And they provided. Look in verse 11 through 13. And the Bible says, in whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in is worthy. Again, who is worthy? What do you mean? They particularly were told to go to the homes of believers, okay, who will provide for their needs. And there abide till we go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. That means greet it, you know, thank them for providing for your needs for these apostles and, you know, bless the home or whatever. And we, today we don't, if you get a cult coming to your home and maybe a Jehovah Witness or whatever, I don't invite them to my home. I talk to them on the porch, but I definitely don't give them the greetings of God or say, God send you off. I hope everything works out for you. No, you don't do that, right? One of John's little letters tell us about that. But he says here that they will go and they will be ministered from town to town. And in those days, the town, for a town to refuse a guest was a breach of etiquette. They did entertain strangers. And that stayed with us for a while in America. Remember people would have a house maybe connected to their house, a room, and people, strangers especially back in early days, and they'd be traveling and they'll stop and they'll have the room already set up for them and they provide for them right there. We can't do that today because of the type of people that we have become, right? We can't do that, can't trust them. But they would do that. The ambassadors to remain only in those with those who were worthy, those who trusted Christ and received his message of peace and forgiveness. And then, but what happens if they don't? Look in verses 14 and 15. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. There's been two churches that I pastored that I actually did that, if they can tell you. And they both were in Adel. And I had a big red truck back then, a standard ship. That's what it called, right? And so I know I look kind of funny setting my feet out the door, hitting one shoe against the other, knocking the dirt off my feet. I did what they said in the Bible. I shook their dirty dirt off of my feet as a judgment to them. See? So that's just a way of saying they don't receive you, then you don't bless them, and you leave them with God's judgment. Okay? That's what the text says. So these apostles were not to compromise. If the town rejected them, in their words, they were warned the people, and they would depart, shake the dust off in an act of judgment. And I did that. Now, if I do that today, and you see me doing that in the parking lot, just know this one thing. I'm trying not to mess up the carpet in my car, okay? All right? I'm not giving you any judgment, right? I don't need to. And while we may learn from these spiritual principles in this paragraph here, we should not apply these instructions to our lives. These are for the Lord's 11 or 12. These are their mission and their ministry. And we get into trouble, as Wiersbe says, when we begin to look at chapter 10 and make them all apply to the wrong people he's talking to. And we'll look at that as we go through. The Lord's commission to us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, just not the nation of Israel. Okay? Let me summarize the differences between Matthew 10, 5, and 15 and what we're called to do today. Well, number one, we don't have the power to heal, but we are to pray for people, right? If you're praying for somebody and got healed, it was God that done it, not you, right? We pray the prayer of faith. Also, they were to go to Israel. We go to the whole world. Now, later they would go to the whole world. They charge for their healings. We don't do that. I go into men's, when we used to have hospital visitation. I don't know when's the last time I've been able to go to the hospital. Sometime in March. And I go and pray for somebody at the bedside, and they say, here, let me give you $100 for praying for me. No, you don't do that, right? But they took the money. We don't charge for what we do for the Lord. The Lord provides for our needs. And there was a fourth difference. Principle the same maybe as God's missionary is supported by God's people. The same thing. They were supported by God's people of believers, and we are to be supported by God's people if we're a missionary or a pastor or whatever. That's why we're really good about that. That's why we treat the man of God the way we do when he comes. Put him up in the Hampton Inn. We supply one meal a day and you know, we take up an offering. We give them a guaranteed amount. And I'm sure I've seen you. I do that money handshake where you put money in their hand. I've seen y'all do that. And we just take care of the man of God, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. So number five difference is we preach the gospel of the grace of God. Our message is Christ died for our sins, and it's not, as these original apostles were given this first commission, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king has come. He's already suffered. He's already died. He's already raised from the dead. And now we preach the gospel, telling them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And now we offer salvation to all who would believe, right? Just not the house of Israel. Just not those who are worthy, right? But everybody. Do you see the differences in this commission? And we'll look at it further as we go next week, okay? No invitation tonight. We're just going to close with a word of prayer. Let's stand and close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this great mission that you put the apostles on and what you told them to do and how they learned from it, Father. And as we go further into Matthew 10, we'll see what we're supposed to do. And it's quite different. And help us to recognize the and rightly divide the word of truth, and we need to apply the scripture to who it needs to be applied to, and we interpret the scripture to who it needs to be interpreted to. We can't claim a promise that's not ours. We can't have a commandment or an instruction or from the Bible that tell us what we ought to do, and it's not even speaking to us. So we need to be rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we thank you for this tonight. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.